Take your Bibles, if you will, and I turn to Matthew chapter 2. It's one of my favorite stories of the Christmas time, though I do not believe that it happened at his birth. I believe it happened a couple of years later when they came to the house where Jesus would be found. But it's hard to ponder these men coming this far. To travel hundreds, yea, thousands of miles. It must be also noted there was a star. And you have to wonder why so few people recognized the star as it was. Let's stand together, if you would, beginning at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 2. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Jesus should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." May I point out, politicians have always been liars. Verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Dear Heavenly Father, we come asking you to bless this time of the service now. And Lord, as we look at Herod as representing the world, may we not return to the world, but may we depart another way. Help us, Lord, to serve you faithfully in the time you have allotted for us to have. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In verse 1, we have all the material needed for a best-selling story. The main character, of course, is Jesus. You have Bethlehem of Judea, a village 5 to 6 miles south of Jerusalem. It was during the reign of King Herod the Great. And wise men are coming from the east. Now, when Jesus was born, may I say this, nothing else matters. Bethlehem would simply have been the city of David without Jesus coming. The reign of Herod would be meaningless. The wise men would never have come. May I say this as we end the Christmas season, may we not forget the Christ of Christmas. May we not forget what he has done for you. Next Sunday when you come in, many of the things that you see up this week as part of the decorations will be gone. In fact, most of them will be gone tomorrow. But that doesn't mean we'll stop serving the Christ of Christmas. Because Christ is what it's all about, folks. A church is to preach Christ. And that's what our desire is to do. May I say this was one of the three greatest events in history. One of the three greatest events in history, the birth of Christ. You say, what are the other two? Thank you for asking. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. Great time in history. Oh, there's a great day coming yet. If you know Christ as your Savior, someday you're going to see Him. I hope that you're prepared. But see them coming in your mind's eye. Ponder this. We know that there were at least two, because they were wise men. But there could have been 50. There could have been 250. We are not given a number. We are just told that they came. May I say this? Wise men still seek Christ. Now, I know that's an old slogan, and I know that's an old statement, but wise men still seek Christ. And in 2014, wise men will still seek Christ. And may I say this? If we do not seek Christ, we are not wise. If we are not seeking Christ. But they had read the prophecy of Balaam, the son of Beor. It says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Numbers 24. 17. Ponder in your mind's eye. They come with their servants. We think of the wise men and we think of Ed, Fred, and Ted. But they did not come alone. They had their servants. They had their cooks. They probably had their families, their guides, and their guards, because you had to be on guard against those who would take what you had. They came with their camels. They came with their provisions. They came with their tents. They came with their clothing. And they came with their treasures. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The gold was God's way of providing for a young family that would soon have to flee and go to Egypt. The frankincense, shall we say, as thought of, he is worthy of our worship. But the myrrh, a bitter perfume as a sign of sorrow, sighing, bleeding, and death. We know next to nothing of their starting point or of their early days of traveling, but we only know is that they did arrive in Jerusalem. Do you think that they would have created a stir? I mean, I can see it now. CNN is talking about the wise men have come into Jerusalem. It's made the headlines on the Jerusalem Post. Herod thinks he's going to be clever. Number one, he's not going to let some upstart become king of Israel. He's the king. He's in control. He's not going to let anybody else take his place. And so he says, why don't you find out where he's at? And, well, I'll go worship him too. Do you think the wise men fell for his subtle talk? I think they did. Why else would they have been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod? See, people can talk a good talk, can't they? Not too long ago, I was at a home and I knocked on the door and the person welcomed me in and said, yes, I know I should be in church. And you know what? I'm going to turn over a new leaf and I'm going to be there. I'm still waiting for them to come. It sounded good and I wondered if they really believed it themselves. You know what? Talk's cheap. We need to walk the walk. But they have come to Jerusalem. These thinkers who have come to find Jesus. They have come from a far country. I want you to ponder this. They're not traveling by airplane. They're not coming on a train or in a bus Or Mrs. Severe, like your grandson driving out there to California in a car. How are they coming? Well, maybe on a camel. How would you like to ride a camel for day after day after day? How would you like to ride a horse day after day, or a mule, a donkey, day after day after day? Would you say that was determination? Do you have determination in your faith for Christ? Do you have determination? Do you have commitment? Would you say you have to be committed if you're going to travel 2,000 miles on the back of a camel? Jim said he was glad he didn't have to ride to church on a camel. We're glad too. Can you imagine how he'd smell? And camels spit and bite. They're not the nicest of creatures. No. We need to be committed to the cause of Christ. We need to be committed to say, we're going to serve the Lord in 2014 like we've never done before. To be committed, to have the determination of these wise men and those that came with them. We need to be willing to finish the mission. Did you see that somewhere in the bulletin today? Finish the mission. That's going to be the theme of our upcoming mission conference in 2014. The mission isn't complete, folks. There are still those who are in need of the Word of God. These people finished their mission. They saw God's messenger, the star. I hate it when people talk about Mother Nature. There is no Mother Nature. I believe, now you can argue with me, I mean, you can get in line that it isn't Ed, Ted, and Fred. And you can get in line that God is in control, but I believe that God sends hurricanes our way, and tornadoes, and earthquakes, to try to remind us that we are very small here on planet Earth, and that there is something greater than us in control. We find that the star was there for all to see. You don't hide a star. And apparently this was a noteworthy star. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if today people didn't see stars. Well, when was the last time you went out and looked at the stars? Did anybody look at stars last night? The night before? You may have noticed them, but how long did you notice them? Seconds? In our world that's so full of light, in our world that we are so consumed by electronics, in our world that we have so many other things to pull our minds away, we don't look at stars. But may I say that when these men lived, they didn't have 175 TV stations. They didn't have their iPods and iPhones and all those other eyes. They would look up at the stars. And they saw something different. And they had read in the scriptures about a star. And they realized what it was. We find here that they came asking, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star." May I say this, a star gives off light. Would you say that the Covenant Baptist Church should give off light? Amen. Whose light? Jesus. We should give off his light. We ought to be testimonies for Christ. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the majority of you would raise your hand. Should you not be stars? Should you not be lights? Are we not called the light of the world? Sure. We are to give off light. But they made a tragic mistake. They took their eyes off the star and leaned too much on to their own reasoning. I think they thought, well, where else would this guy be born, this king of the Jews, other than in the capital city of Jerusalem? And so they went to Jerusalem. It's very close. It's only 5 or 7 miles away from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. But they took their eyes off the star. And with great tragedy. Because King Herod, as we learn in verses 16 through 18, because of his anger that there would dare be someone that would be born king of the Jews, he had all the children 2 years and under killed. They took their eyes off the star. Our society, our nation, our world has taken its collective eyes from the Lord and off his word. And we have put it on material wealth, on education, on physical beauty, on humanism, and on evolution, on secularism. And it has led to the slaughter of millions of babies being aborted. I didn't say 5 or 10, I'm saying millions of babies. It has led to the confusion of millions of children as they've been taught evolution as a fact when it is a very poor theory. It has led to the immorality of countless millions of teenagers and adults who have been taught, well, if it's okay, if it feels good, it's okay. If you're not hurting anybody, it's okay. Folks, it has hurt literally hundreds and thousands of people, the immorality of today's society. It has led to the dividing of millions of marriages as people have taken their eyes off the Lord. There is a group called WAR, Women at Risk, called WAR. Maybe you've heard of them. The UN Secretary General has written, 114 to 200 million women are demographically missing due to infanticide, dowry deaths, domestic violence, and all manner of risk. The U.S. State Department writes 800,000 people a year, that's 800,000 people a year are trafficked against their will. 50% are children. 70% of women are sold into sexual slavery, chained to beds of horror. The FBI writes the new slavery, human trafficking, is the fastest growing segment of organized crime. It is estimated that 100,000 are trafficked inside America. 100,000. Meanie's story, that's M-U-N-I apostrophe S, Meanie's story. Meanie was one of 5,000 sold that year, trafficked into the red light districts of India. Meanie was barely 9 years old. It is believed 200,000 girls from the Himalayas were scammed into sexual slavery due to their fair skin, sold by poor parents, tricked into fraudulent marriages, or promised employment. They find themselves sold to brothels. See, we live in a world that blinds its eye to those things that are evil. And then at the same time, we have MTV and the trash that they promote. And so we confuse our kids. Well, how is it wrong and how is it right and what should we be doing? We have taken our attention away from God and from God's word. Our eyes are on the wrong things. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. But can we thank God for second chances? Are you glad for second chances? Notice verse 10. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Notice what it says up in verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Thank God for second chances. Because if you're a human like me, you're going to make mistakes and you are going to fail and you are going to do things wrong. But isn't it good that God is waiting for you to come back? Keeping your place here, if you would, turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke 15. And you're going to say, oh, I know that chapter. That's where the prodigal son is. That's right. And the prodigal son is left, and he's taken his inheritance, and he's wasted it, trying to have a good time in society. I was at Kroger's yesterday. I was getting some things, and there was a woman there with a cart, and she had at least 20 bottles of champagne in her cart. And I'm thinking to myself, as I looked at her cart and looked at her, and she looked at me, and I looked at her cart, and I just shook my head and walked on. Folks, champagne isn't going to bring you peace. At the bottom of the bottle, there's still life. We live in a society that says the only way you're going to have a good time is to have alcohol. Then I've never had a good time in my life. I thank God that I was raised up in a home where they didn't drink. And they taught me to be careful. I still remember my dad taking me aside one day, and he says, Paul, he says, I want to tell you something. He says, on your mother's side, your mother's mother's side, there are alcoholics. On your mother's dad's side, there are alcoholics. He said, on my mother's side, there are alcoholics. He said, on my dad's side, there are alcoholics. He says, be careful. You know, I need to believe we need to teach our kids they don't need alcohol to have a good time. And I believe, teenagers, that if you happen to go to a party and there is alcohol there, that you either have a way to get home, or you call somebody, or you call Pastor Steve, and he'll come and get you and take you home. Don't say, well, I just won't have any and I'll mingle. No, you just leave. You just leave. You can talk to my wife about that when she was a teenager and having to do that very thing. If I remember correctly, you were dating some guy named Dave at that time. Was that his name? It was Dave. And when David walked down the halls of Stevenson High School with his big S, he jingled. He had won so many medals in sports. So she wasn't just leaving some Baptist preacher's son. She was leaving a very popular young guy. A jerk, huh? Thank you. I didn't think you were talking about me. I thought you were talking about Dave. Okay. We need to know what we're going to do when we're tempted. We need to be different. But notice what it says in verse 20 of Luke chapter 15. This man who has wasted all his substance, when he has wasted himself in society, he has found himself with nothing. Verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Thank God for second chances. Thank God that we can, when we have fallen, get back up and say, Lord, I am sorry. Please forgive me. And begin again. Back in Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, it says, and when they were come into the house, when they had come into the house, oftentimes we see in Christmas pictures and nativity scenes, the wise men at the place of the manger where Christ was sleeping. I don't believe they were at the manger scene. But you know, Lucifer does not mind if you celebrate Christmas with family and have gifts and fine food. He does not care if you go and listen to a church choir sing or even if you sing yourself the Christmas carols. But may I say, he is bothered when you bow down and worship the Christ of Christmas. See, he doesn't care if you just go through the motions, but when you know what it's all about, he does care. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. They came to the house where Jesus was. They saw the child and a very special lady, for Mary was a blessed woman. They worshiped the child, but they did not worship the special lady. They did not bow down to the lady. They bowed down to the Christ child. And they opened their treasures and presented them to Jesus. Have you opened your heart and given it to Jesus? Have you given your greatest possession, your soul, to the Lord? Are you hanging on to it so tightly, saying it's mine and you can't have it? Folks, we better make sure that we have made peace with our Lord. We had better made peace with the judge of the universe. But then we find in verse 12 a very interesting phrase. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Now, we could take that to mean, which it probably does mean, that when they left, they did so in such a way that Herod didn't know. But I believe that we can also take it that when you come to Jesus, you should be different. You should act different. You should smell different. Your story should be different. You should feel uncomfortable in the world. You should feel uncomfortable when you are not with God's people. Because you are not the same if you come to Christ as your Savior. If you look and sound and act and dress like the world, listen to the warning of God. Don't return to Herod. Herod represents the world. Don't go to the world for your peace. Come to Christ. Wise men will still seek him in 2014. 2013 is about to end. Some of you have lost loved ones. Some of you have lost employment. You've lost maybe benefits at work. You have lost value in your house. You have lost things. That's part of life. Maybe you had, during 2013, saw the birth of a child. We had a granddaughter born in 2013. Thank you very much. Maybe you have gotten a raise or two or three raises, or maybe you got a new car or a new home, and good things happen in 2013. That's part of life. But you know what's at the end of life? Tell me what's at the end of life. One out of one does what? Dies. One out of one. Well, the rapture hasn't come yet. But 2014, may I say this? Without apology, at least one of you in this room will not be here next year. Are you ready to meet your maker? At least one of you will be gone. You say, Brother Madonna, what are you talking about? Hope Kelly? Rosemary Madonna? Forrest, I believe your wife died this year. Three of them right there that aren't here from last year. Well, yeah, from 2000 that died in this year. Are you ready? If the Lord called you home today, we were meeting with my cousin Catherine and her husband David. David has a brother who is 63 and he's been put into hospice care. There's no guarantee you have the rest of this year even, let alone next year. But wise men and women still seek him in 2014. Shall we stand together? And we're singing the same invitation song as we did last week, because the question is still the same. Have you any room for Jesus? Is he Lord of your life? Are you determined to serve him, worship him, follow him? Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you are willing to offer us salvation. Lord, you know the needs of each one in this room, of teenagers who are facing temptations at school, of those who at work are being tempted to do the wrong things, of those even in families, Lord, where things aren't right. May we get things right with the Lord. May we be determined to follow you, Lord. May we commit ourselves to do what is right. And Lord, if there's one here today that has never accepted thee as Savior, may this be that day that they give themselves over to you spiritually, accepting thee as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.